This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, coming live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here on this Monday. 1-855-212-4227. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Good poll question as well. And I got to be honest, the results so far are mystifying. We'll reset that in a little bit. If you want to get Tiki directly, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. We'll get into some quarterback conversation here. The Dallas Cowboys as well. Inbounds, out of bounds. But a wacky weekend in college football. And you were involved in it a little bit. Had
yeah.
a good time at the
no, alma mater. I went down to UVA, to Charlottesville, because it was our homecoming.
Yeah.
We're playing the University of Miami. Sorry, D-Cell. You can't throw up the U unless you throw that U down.
Yeah, they downward were bad. Trend.
I got to tell you, BD, it was one of the ugliest games I've seen in a long time. There were 6 interceptions.
That's ugly stuff, Kosi
Perry, who ended up starting the game, got benched for Malik Rozier midway through the game. And our quarterback threw 3 interceptions. It was ugly. But I get this side story. So there's a bunch of alumni there. Herman Moore got honored.
Herman Moore.
He's awesome. He said, "Hey, when are you guys going to have me come on?" He said, I haven't talked to you in a while.
Is he still pushing his tire product?
Yeah, right. What was that bowl?
I forget what it was.
Whatever the bowl is they do up in Detroit.
Yep.
But he was there. And
Motor City Bowl.
Yeah, Motor City Bowl. Chris Long was there as well. So it was a bunch of retired NFL players were around. And so we do this ceremony on the field, get introduced, hey, whatever, go up in the box, right? So I see Craig Littlepage, who is our former athletic director, and he's like, "I'm going to bring somebody down to say hello and meet your kids." And he comes down a couple minutes later, and brings Dr. J.
Dr. J, Julius Irving. What, the Virginia Squires?
No. Dr. J has a 16-year-old kid, 6'3 or so, basketball
he's
player.
Got a, how old is the kid?
16. That's not his youngest.
Doc,
he's got a 13-year-old.
What?
He's got a 13-year-old.
Doc is still...
He's getting it done.
Still get it done?
He's got one that's 46 and one that's 13. He's got quite the range.
Wow.
So anyways, he comes in the box, and I've done some things with him through Thuzia, my company, down in Philly. And so we're chatting. I was like, "Hey, I want you to introduce you to my boys." So I introduce them, AJ and Chasen. AJ's 16, Chasen's 14.
Yeah.
Chasen's tall, so he's like, "Oh, he plays basketball?" And, you know, they're being shy, and they're just kind of like, I don't know who I'm talking to.
They at least knew a little bit about Dr.
He leaves about 10 minutes later, and they're like, "Dad, who is that?"
Oh, God.
I almost, like, fell off my chair.
No.
I said, "Boys, Google Dr. J." They're like, "No, what's his real name?" I'm like, "Just Google Dr. J." And then they Google it, and they're like, "Oh, he invented the dunk?" I'm like,
pretty much. You won the first dunk contest in 1976 in Denver in the ABA.
But BT, it just tells me how old I am. They had no clue.
Yeah, but you know
who
what?
Dr.
Hey,
J
well,
is.
Hold on. That's on them. Hold on, because that's on them. Because when I was their age, I knew about Jerry West and I knew about George
but
Mike.
You know what it is? They don't love basketball like they love football.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
All right.
Peyton was also there because his wife Ashley is on one of the boards at UVA.
Peyton got a little chubby. You see his belly when he's outside the bus there? He looks like an old man, Peyton.
So Peyton was there.
Yeah.
And so we go into Peyton's booth or suite. And I introduced the boys to Peyton. They never met him.
Okay.
And
now, please do this. Do they know who he is?
Dude, they clammed up like they were talking to. I don't know who they thought
like
they were.
Like royalty.
Yeah. They were like, "Oh, I don't know." And Peyton's like, "Yeah, I just saw your uncle." And they're looking at him like, "Huh?"
Yeah.
And Tracy's like, "You're Rondé?" And they're like, "Oh, yeah." They were so
mesmerized.
They were so mesmerized by Peyton. But he's so cool. He was a great guy.
So wait, so you had Peyton Manning, you had Dr. J.
Chris Long was there as well. Herman Moore. It was a lot of dignitaries, a pretty good crew out there. Yeah, it was a great crew. Great crew to see an upset. D-Cell.
Here's what you got to do, though. You got to educate the boys. Yeah, I'll even find it. I'll find them the proper documentary, and I'll send it. Uncle B will do this. They've got to learn a little bit about the ABA. A little bit.
Yeah, you're right. And especially because he was the Virginia Squires, as you were talking about.
Yes, there's kind of a... That's why I said, was he in there for another function, kind of kidding around?
No, he was there because he has a kid that's 16, and they want him to go to school there.
That's incredible. It's awesome. Right, so we got to find something so that the boys can at least, next time, you know, they're in the presence of
greatness.
And the crazy thing about Dr. J is not only was he obviously a great player, but, you know, he transcended... He was really one of the first to transcend race. I mean, where the companies that were run by whites, you know, he was one of the first African-American players that, you know, white CEOs entrusted, you know, real platforms with big money and a real product. I mean, Dr. J is... Dr. J is the man.
He is the man.
And he still
looks great, too, by the way.
Yeah.
He looks amazing.
The picture. I mean, his face is... Yeah, he's not a young man at this point, but he looks in great shape.
60-something, I think.
He's got monster hands.
68.
Is he? Well, then he looks great for 68.
That's what I mean.
I didn't realize he was quite 68. Wow. Yeah. Dr. J. All right.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a great trip. And we won, so that was all.
Is he rocking the semi-fro, or is he...
He had a hat on. I think it's low crop.
Wait, hold on. Let me see this. Oh, the picture that I tweeted out there?
Yeah.
You look like his limo driver. You really do. I mean, you're wearing your little orange Virginia tie and your little prep school vest.
I got to do my part. Back in the day, you'd go to a Virginia game, and you'd wear a jacket and tie.
Yeah, which is
a
great tradition.
The women would be in sun dresses.
Oh,
it was
nice.
awesome. And then they slowly started to change it when Al Groh came through, and they wanted the kids in orange, and I don't know, I just lost like a little bit of a something, you know what I mean? I still do it. I still wear a jacket and tie. I still wear a jacket and tie, even though nobody else wants to.
I like that. That's awesome. All right, so I'm glad you guys had a great weekend. That sounds like a tremendous weekend.
Yeah, it was fun. A lot of driving, though, but it was cool.
A lot of driving for about a day and a half, basically, right now. Yeah, I hear you. Exactly. How's your mom doing, by the way?
Awesome.
She's good?
Yes. She had the girls.
No, good. Mom, I'm leaving. Handle this. All right, so I thought yesterday was a pretty interesting encapsulation of quarterbacks plowing forward.
Yes.
You know, you can obviously go through all the games and pick a few things out. Obviously, we started with Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Of course, Brady, who's the greatest of all time. And then everything in between. Like Trubisky's lapses in judgment. Darnold's quick response from an early mistake, something he does a lot. Did it at Ford Field opening night, threw the pick six. He comes back. He hangs 40-plus on the board.
He was awesome.
He was very good. He made some terrific. Sam Darnold is really good. Sam Darnold, now, you don't want to go nuts, but what you need in a young quarterback, and, you know, I don't see this from Mariota, just to throw him into the equation. You know, Mariota is very quiet.
Yeah.
Almost docile.
Well, not even talking about how he speaks, because he is also quiet as he speaks, but he also plays quietly.
Yep.
You know, it's there's nothing. I mean, every now and then there's just like a wow play, but it's usually with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rarely do you see that. Man, he uncorked that one. Oh man, he put that one on the spot. Like you're not saying that
not
about
many.
Marcus Mariota.
Not many.
We've seen it from some of these other young quarterbacks. Pat Mahomes one, Sam Darnold's another. These guys are making throws that you're just like, wow.
Did you say Baker?
Baker also.
He had a
regression game.
But yeah,
look, he's young. He's a rookie.
I got you.
Exactly. But you've said, wow, right? You're not saying that with Marcus Mariota.
I don't see it at all.
And it's a decision that's going to come at the end of this year where they got to decide, is he our guy in Tennessee? It's a new coaching staff, so they're not necessarily married to him. They probably are, but not necessarily married to him as their franchise going forward. But I wouldn't have thought this coming into this season. This is a prove-it year for Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, it is.
He's got to determine. He's got to show this organization that he can lead them for the next decade or eight to 10 years or whatever the number may be that people identify with a franchise quarterback. And I don't know. I could, if I had to make the call, I don't know if I could make it yet.
I couldn't either. I got a question for you directly about Mariota, but also to bring Winston into the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Winston's had missteps off the field.
Yep.
I think we all realize he's more of a prodigious power of talent.
Yep.
Sort of plowing the football downfield, leadership and all that stuff. Mariota, never going to get in trouble.
Never.
But just not as dynamic on the field throwing the football. If you had to marry yourself to one of those two players for the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years.
Which was the decision the Tennessee Titans and the Buccaneers had 4 years ago.
Correct.
But now with having 4 years of knowledge.
Correct. Who would you pick? I would probably pick Winston.
I think I would as well. Like, I know what Winston's faults are on the field, and I know what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They lost this game against the Atlanta Falcons, but it only happened because he does what he's done for the first 3 years
and
of his
career.
And
they kicked a 50-something-yard field goal to squeeze it to,
true,
you know,
true,
by the way, to cover,
yes,
the spread.
Yes, exactly.
I appreciate that. Thank
exactly.
you very much.
Otherwise, he led them down, uh-huh, and they kicked the game-winning field goal.
He did his job.
Right?
They put points up.
Matt Bryant.
Who's been around forever.
He was with me, dude.
I sat with Matt Bryan in 2002,
yeah,
at a blackjack table in Las Vegas, and he was already like 2 or 3 years into his career.
Yeah, that's when
he's still
going. That's when he's with the Giants. He's been around forever, and he is excellent. He might be the best kicker in football right now.
Tucker is really good.
Yeah, probably.
Tucker's
probably
good. He's on the short list.
He delivers every Sunday. There. But he makes that field goal. And it puts Jameis in a position where he has to make some throws at the end to score a touchdown as opposed to get in a position to win a field goal. And he did everything right until he just didn't make the play, mm-hmm, at the end. But with Jameis, I know what his fault is. At some point in the game, he's going to throw an inexplicable interception in the red zone going in. And he did it twice. He had 2 turnovers inside the 5-yard line. Just think if that doesn't happen.
At minimum, it's 6 points. It could be 10, could be 14.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, they might beat the Atlanta Falcons in a game that
Falcons
nobody
were poised to be beat again.
That nobody expected them to win that game. But I know Jameis can do that. I know he can beat one of the better teams in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Marcus Mariota can beat one of the
Why
better teams
Why would we think that?
League.
We never see evidence of it.
You're right.
We never see Marcus Mariota stand toe-to-toe. I know it's a different dynamic. I understand that. I get that.
Yep,
the Falcons' defense
yep.
stinks. Offense is structured differently. I hear you. But how many times in 3+ years have we seen Mariota stand toe-to-toe with an above-average to elite quarterback and, you know, match him for yards and touchdowns and points?
No.
I mean, I could count on one hand.
You're right.
I think I never see that.
Yeah. Now, he wins games. He wins games.
Yeah, he wins a few.
But he's not wowing you.
No, and he had the touchdown a couple of weeks ago to mm-hmm. Corey Davis,
yep.
his first touchdown.
That was a big one.
That was a big one for sure. But that was also a great grab. I'm not going to give credit where it's due. Mariota made a good throw, even though Davis went up and got it in the air. And I thought that was a moment that might launch that offense. Instead, they get zero.
I know. It's just hard to get shut out. And in the National Football League in 2018, with the way we've talked about it many times,
and
offenses have every advantage. It is hard to get shut out.
Yep. Unless you're playing in the snow or unless you have, like I said at the beginning of the show when this came up, you know, a quarterback who just isn't ready
mm-hmm.
with an offensive line that is a disaster,
yep.
and you can't even run vertical routes because if you do, your quarterback will get hurt.
You're right.
So you're so utterly predictable. It's everything in the flats. It's dumps. It's screens. It's play. It's just get the ball out of his hands and let's get to next week so we don't get our future quarterback killed. I don't know. I the more I see Mariota,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe in him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I wrong here? I mean.
And the question is, how does that change in the short term?
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe this is who he is.
I
he played in a system at Oregon.
Yes.
A high-octane, high-volume system.
Mostly predicated on the run game.
True. With a lot of shifting personnel.
Yep.
And at a time when Chip Kelly was 3 steps in front of defensive coordinators. I'm not saying that that's all he is, but the perception of Mariota was derived from that potency on Saturdays that now the rest of the world is caught up to.
Agreed.
So, I don't want to just keep burying the young man, but I would give Winston, and that is a serious statement, when somebody is bold enough to say, or at least confident enough to say, or dumb enough to say, I would give Winston more money,
mm-hmm.
who you don't know if he can comport himself like a gentleman off the field, than Mariota.
Yeah.
Because it is a bottom line business.
But you know he can win if it has to get to a we need to go score. You know Jameis can do it.
I think he can. I do. Certainly yeah. more than Mariota.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. I know we got a break, but the opinion or the interceptions inside the 5 and the 10, is that a vision thing?
No.
Is that an overconfidence thing?
It's that.
Okay.
It's that. I remember when Rondé said this is first his rookie season. He said he's Brett Favre. Like, he thinks he's Brett Favre.
I can work with that.
Right? I can make every throw. Right? Okay. I can get it in that window. I know I can't, but I'm going to get it in that window. And he tries.
Yeah.
And it comes back to bite him. Sometimes it's smarter to just either eat it or live to play the next play or put it in, tuck it, and run. Even Tom Brady did that last week.
He did.
This weekend.
He did?
Or, I mean, he doubted it for the last second. He was like, I'm letting this thing go. Oh, you know what? Screw it.
And, but you know what? He put his helmet down. He put his pants down.
He did.
And he went face first, and he got hit a little bit. But, I mean, Brady's such a gamer. I know we're jumping around with the quarterback stuff, but he just is such a gamer. He really is amazing. All right, put the shovels down and put the coffin away for a little bit. Dallas isn't dead.
Mm.
Dallas isn't dead. The question is, and we'll get to this coming up, do they now find a recipe to matter for the rest of the season? Do we have to reintroduce the Cowboys to the meaningful part of the conversation? We'll get through it. Coming up, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Warren G. Brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes saved you 15% or more on car insurance. So we'll have to...
Even Margaret was getting down with that one.
I see her foot tap, but I don't see her face. I see her boot, our makeup woman, makeup artist, Marg, who completely ignores the show. Doesn't like sports, and I'm not even sure she likes us anymore.
Yeah,
she
loves
talk
us.
To us much.
She loves us. Don't
I'm
you,
just
Margaret.
Kidding, Mark. She does.
She does.
She's a sweetheart, but she's not a big sports fan. But I see her boot tapping. Now I see her head starting to look out. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't tap the toe to that song? Come on. So we'll have to
greatest
get through.
Songs ever.
It's a good one. I think what we'll do is we'll get through a sloppy one tonight. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. Packers, 49ers, We've got the Cardinals and the Broncos Thursday. That's terrible. I'm not even going to try to upsell that. That's just horrendous football. Find something to bet and go from there. But I tell you, the Jaguars, they just got their asses handed to them. I don't know how else to say it.
This was troubling.
Yeah.
Eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhat predictable.
Okay, here's my question to jumpstart this conversation.
Go ahead.
Take us wherever we got to go. Was this more pro-Dallas or more anti-Jaguars, in your opinion?
To me, it was anti-Jaguars. So, I'll explain.
Okay.
Now, Dak Prescott played well. No interceptions. He threw two touchdowns, both to Cole Beasley. And they were good throws that he threw to Cole Beasley. One was in the second window on a slant, a post route, and he put it right over the defender. It was perfect. Cole Beasley caught it and made his way in the end zone. But to me, the Jaguars, who came into this game as the second-ranked defense in the National Football League, that's all we wanted to talk about. Oh, there's Yannick Ngakoue is going to get after him, and Calais Campbell got banged up in this game, and you know Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boyd. Like, the names just roll off your tongue
because
they're all amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're all Pro Bowl quality players. Some of them are perennial all-pro quality players. But the problem when you have a complementary team is this type of game happens. Now, what I mean by that is the Jacksonville Jaguars punted four times in the first half, and three of those four were three and outs. Those were their four possessions in the first half. So usually we talk about 12 possessions in a game, sometimes 13. That's like six and a half possessions per half. They had four, and they three and outed on three of them, right? The Cowboys... Seven plays, nine plays, seven plays, 16 plays, just beat down the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. And so while part of that is on the Jaguars and they didn't make the plays early on when the Cowboys were making plays, this really was on this Jaguars offense because they couldn't stay on the field. You can't go three and out multiple times in a row because it exhausts your defense, no matter what scheme is out there or how good of a cover corner a guy is, you end up getting worn out. And that's what happened in this. So I put it on the Jaguars offense as much as I do on the Jaguars defense, while at the same time giving credit for the Cowboys for having the perfect game plan. They ran the ball, and they more importantly, they ran the ball with Dak Prescott. So when you're great like the Jaguars defense is, BT, you can account for everyone you're supposed to. The one guy you usually forget about is the quarterback. And so when you get Dak Prescott rolling out of the pocket on design runs or on scramble runs and going for 82 yards and a touchdown on the day, you can't account for that, especially when you're worn out. So give the Cowboys credit, but I'm not saying that they now have a formula that's going to make them extremely viable going forward, because I don't think they get this type of ineptness from the other team's offense like they got this past weekend.
That's a strong word for a team that's supposed to be the best. I hear they were inept. And actually, I'm going to take that back. There's a word that's worse than inept, and that is apathetic.
You're right.
They seemed accepting of their fate.
No doubt.
They didn't care.
No.
I know that it's easy for me to say that in a nice, cool studio.
That's what it looked like, at least.
It looked as if they didn't care if they won, lost, if they were embarrassed. There was a play at the goal line with Beasley that Ramsey checked out of, where he could have tackled lower the shoulder and wanted no part of it. From Dallas's point of view, what this does, and Dallas is one of those teams, and because let's face it, there's a few teams, and I don't mean like the Yankees or the Steelers or those brands that are always talked about, but win, even if it's not a World Series or a Super Bowl. There are certain teams, like the Cowboys, like the Knicks, who are thrust into a conversation for no reason because they haven't earned it. I mean, if you really think about the evidence with Dallas, they've done nothing. But yet, because they're Dallas, much like, you know, or the Knicks going to get a free agent because they're the Knicks, they'll be talked about when they haven't earned that right. So I don't want to go nuts here, but I will say this. A lot of the conversations that we have around Dallas, we kind of craft from something that's imaginary. What we saw yesterday thrust them back into the meaningful part of the conversation.
You're right.
And it came at the most opportune time because there was internal chirping about the schematics in which they run their offense. Jason Garrett went incredibly passive at the worst moment in overtime against the Texans, and this is how they respond. If they would have lost 40-7 yesterday,
see ya.
Jason Garrett's done.
Yeah, I agree.
It's over.
Because you already heard Jerry Jones talking about,
correct,
we got to take risks, and we're playing as bad as we were. It's time to take risks. It's not time to, you know, internalize it and be conservative. You got to take risks. They went and took some risks.
They played
went for
really
it on fourth
well.
Down one where they didn't really have to, but they did.
I know.
I mean,
and I don't want to fast forward too much here because this could be dangerous because you don't know what's going to happen. But I just want to point out their last three games of the season. All right? They're at the Colts, who are a bad team.
Yep.
They're bad. Yep. I mean, I watched every snap against the Jets.
They make a lot of mistakes.
They're also very banged up.
Including Andrew Luck. But even Andrew Luck is making some mistakes.
He's made more mistakes than I've seen him maybe make ever.
One, I agree.
Okay. Probably out of necessity because he knows that he's got to score a lot of points because the defense isn't that good.
And Russ. I mean, he didn't play for a year and a half. I mean, think about that. So
at the Colts, the Buccaneers, and at the Giants. Mm. And that last game against the Giants, there'll be 70%, if not more, Cowboy fans.
That's going to be depressing.
You know how it works.
It's going to be depressing.
Yeah, it's going to be depressing.
For me, that is.
Yeah, I hear you. Those are three games that Dallas, I don't know if they will win, but they certainly could. And this game that they have coming up, they're playing the Redskins next, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you look at the totality of their season thus far.
This is great, though.
This is going to be really fun. Week one against the Panthers, they looked inept. They looked, I mean, Dak Prescott looked inept. The win against the Giants week two, that Sunday night game, outside of the big play early, that long bomb from Prescott. I forget who, was it Hearns? Whoever caught it. Terrence Williams?
It was the other wide receiver.
Tavon Austin. Outside of that, they won the game, but largely uninspiring. Then they looked bad against Seattle. Then they looked okay against the Lions. Mm-hmm. Then they looked poorly coached and poorly constructed against the Texans. And yesterday they looked great.
Yeah.
Like that was their best game of the season.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
They're not even close.
And so they're riding this roller coaster, you know, this up and down and up and down. And it's hard to win that way, and it's hard to get a feel of them that way. But the reality is, BT, they're 3-3.
And they have a good defense.
They have a very good defense.
Very
good. They're 3-3 right now. Yeah. And the division is up for grabs. The Eagles are also 3-3. We know that they're not the Super Bowl champion Eagles team right now. I mean, they're still the Super Bowl champions. They will be until another one is crowned.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not the same team that we saw last year that went 13-3 and probably could have went 15-1 if they hadn't had some mistakes go the wrong way. The Redskins have a good defense as well. They laid an egg against the Saints on Monday night last night. But other than that, they've played really good all season long. So the NFC East is shaping up to be a fight.
Yeah.
Right? It's going like the little things are going to matter. The division games are going to matter. And while the Cowboys, 2 weeks ago, you're not even putting them in the conversation, they're back in the conversation now.
Yes, they are.
It's available for them right now. And it's actually, you know, it makes it exciting. You know, and it's why we thought at the beginning of the year this division was going to be one of the best in football. We didn't expect the Giants to be 1-5.
No.
I mean, maybe the Giants were going to be 2-4 at this point, you know, but I didn't think they would be 1-5.
I thought they'd be probably closer to 3-3. I had some hopes for the Giants. Not championship hopes, but hopes of a meaningful season.
Agreed.
And by the way, they play the Redskins on Thanksgiving, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's That's going to be good. Real quick, let's hear from Dak. Best effort all around. Here's the quarterback for the Cowboys.
Definitely the best we've played, from executing on offense and taking advantage of when the defense giving us turnovers and good field position. We're just feeding off of each other. We felt it early. We came out and attacked, and it was a great, great win.
Okay, Teague, so that's Dak, and that's pretty much stands alone. That speaks for itself. I want to play this about 15, 18 seconds, whatever. We played it during Five Star, and I need your quick reaction. Put yourself in that locker room. Your most outspoken defensive star, This is what he did yesterday.
How do you kind of explain some of the blown assignments that you guys had early in this game?
Coach said that he felt like it wasn't an effort issue. It was a miscommunication issue. Do you agree with that?
Jalen, what challenge did Cole Beasley pose today?
Defense usually plays with, you know, a lot of swagger and confidence. What needs to happen to kind of get you guys mojo back?
I don't know.
What do you think?
They got beat down, BT. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to have an answer for something that you've never experienced happening to you before. And, look, I think I would rather have him done that than go off on what he could have gone off on.
How about somewhere in the middle?
I agree. Okay. I agree. But
I don't know if he's got a light to match the franchise, but kind of sounds – that was kind of clownish. I got to be honest with you.
It was unprofessional. It was very unprofessional. But you saw it midway through the game.
Yeah.
Right? They had all kind of checked out. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't surprising that they had nothing to say after the game.
But a team that does that in week six, could they really be a team that can turn around and win a championship?
BT,
how do you quit so easily?
Last year they were a quarter away from from being the AFC representative in the Super Bowl.
No.
Right? They were half a quarter away.
Up 10 points.
With 5 or 6 minutes to go in the game. No way they should have lost that game to the Patriots. You thought they were going to get better, right? They didn't lose anybody.
They lost Robinson and Hearns, but they weren't
integral to the system. You thought they would take steps to go forward. They're taking steps to go backwards.
Can Fournette change everything?
Fournette is the difference maker.
Could he change everything, though?
He can, because he gets you first downs.
Okay, right? So we'll leave the door a little open?
That's what you're hoping. He hurt his hamstring in week one. It's been nagging him, and now he's out. Until he comes back, I don't see how this offense starts functioning the way that it did last year.
No, not with Bortles as the quarterback. There's no way. All right, let's get the update from Jim. Okay, time now for Doing More, brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. Everything you need to do project smarter. It's The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. As we take a look at somebody who did a whole lot for his team, and to be fair, this somebody was pretty much buried to the bench and, I mean, really just out of our minds, the much-maligned Brock Osweiler. Remember him? Stepped in for the banged-up Ryan Tannehill. Had himself a day. 380 yards, 3 touchdowns. Picked up the win in overtime against the Bears. So that was a good win. And a pivotal win for the Dolphins there, because let's face it, you know, Pats will probably still win this division, but as much as Miami fluctuates on a week-to-week basis, they're right there for the wild card.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they're literally there for the division as well, but we expect what always happens.
Tied
right?
with the Patriots and no, they host the Patriots still.
They lost. They got crushed in Foxborough.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady, I think his worst record is in Miami.
In Miami.
It's like 10-11 or something like that. I mean, not 10-11. 9-9.
You're right.
It's not very good.
No.
So we'll see. We'll give him a shot.
There's a shot.
Now, by the way, as a quick aside, do you give the football right back to Tannehill if he's healthy?
I mean, probably.
You probably do.
Yeah, because, look, Brock Osweiler had a day.
Mm-hmm.
What, you thought for 380?
380, 3 touchdowns, big win. Maybe a shorter hook for Tannehill.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, they still got to make a decision on Ryan Tannehill.
And I know they do.
And
watching Brock Osweiler play is not going to help them come to their decision.
No.
Unless Brock Osweiler's so good that becomes the decision, which I don't think anybody envisions happening.
I agree.
With all due respect to Brock Osweiler.
I mean, I thought that Tannehill had figured it out to start this season because he was so good. And in the last couple of games, he was, like, as equally bad as he was good. So, it sucks to be in that situation where you kind of think you have your guy, but you don't know if you have your guy. And
tough
you got
to
make it. It's tough, man, for Adam Gase down there. It's a couple of years. It's time for him to have made the move to solidify this Dolphins team, and it's not quite there yet.
Not yet. Not quite there yet. I would agree with that. You ready for inbounds, out of bounds, Teague?
Yep, I am.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. How long Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, pretty wacky, wild Saturday. A lot of volatility, a lot of strange performances. Top 10, pretty different. So the college football top 10 rankings look dramatically different than they did a week ago. LSU jumps to number 5 as they pound Georgia. You saw that on CBS. Michigan climbs to number 6 with a 25-point win over Wisconsin. And idle Oklahoma jumps up a couple of spots to number 9 because West Virginia and the Huskies lost. So, of the three new teams, LSU, Michigan, and or Oklahoma, one of them will make the college football playoff.
I'm going to say Inbounds, BT. And I think, hey, Michigan, I still got to play Ohio State and Michigan State, even though Michigan State's not vintage. They did beat Penn State and Penn State. I mean, I think Michigan might fall out of that. LSU, I think Georgia had some problems, and there's some rumblings down there that they need to go with the kid as opposed to Fromm, who got them to the championship last year. But I think Oklahoma does have a shot. Now, they did lose to Texas, but Texas has proven to be better than people assumed that they were after that opening day loss to the University of Maryland. And Oklahoma, as I mentioned last week, BT, because of the way the Big 12 is laid out, they're going to get a shot if they win out to play for the Big 12 championship against the number 1 or number 2 team in the Big 12, which will likely also be a ranked team. So I'm going to say, yes, Inbounds, and I think it's going to be Oklahoma.
Boy, you brush aside that Maryland loss pretty easily, huh? Well, the Maryland loss, that's a bad loss. I know Maryland's not atrocious, but
yeah, but I mean,
Michigan lost to Notre Dame. Who? That's it.
Texas?
Michigan.
Oh, I know.
The answer is Michigan. Let me tell you what's going to happen the rest of the season. You ready?
Go ahead.
Jim Harbaugh is going to bludgeon Michigan State.
So you're saying Inbounds as well. You just have a different team.
Correct. Yeah, I probably should have prepped it. Yes, Inbounds, the actual name of the game. That's the premise. They're going to destroy Michigan State. They're going to destroy them.
I think so, too.
They're going to beat, at home, an overrated Penn State team.
I think
they're
going
to beat them.
I would agree.
They're going to pound Rutgers by just getting off the bus. They're going to win by 50. They're going to wipe their noses with Indiana. And then they're going to play Ohio State. And you know what they're going to do there?
What's that?
They're going to beat Ohio State.
Really?
Michigan right now, Michigan, not Ohio State, is the best team in that conference. They're starting to hit stride. They are finding themselves. Michigan will be in the Final Four championship. Save this clip. Make it part of a new open. Flashback. They will not lose again the rest of the season.
But you can only use a D-cell if they actually get to the...
Well, if they lose, then just forget.
Yeah, exactly.
But they won't.
It didn't happen. So they could be two. Could be Michigan and Oklahoma.
I'm not feeling Oklahoma as much as you are. Personally.
I need to see what happens with Ruffin McNeil is their defensive coordinator. And we all know they fired Mike Stoops, who's terrible. Calling plays and getting some really good athletes to play good defense. So I need to see them play once again after their bye week. They were on the bye week last week.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, take a little baseball. The NLCS shifts to L.A. I did pick the Brewers in this series, and I'm going to stick by that. So I think I may have just given away my answer. Dodgers look to capitalize on.
Not necessarily.
It's going to be a fun series. That's true.
That's true.
On home field advantage, take a 2-1 series lead after tying the series in game 2. First game was 6-5, second game 4-3. Game 3 will be Buehler's going to pitch, by the way, who has been pretty good. Unlike the NBA's 2-2-1-1-1 format, MLB, of course, goes 2-3-2. So the NLCS will not go back to Milwaukee.
I'm going to say out of bounds. Shaheen is on the mound against Buehler, and Ryu and others for the Dodgers are good. And so it's going to create this up-and-downness to this series. I think this goes 7, BT.
Yep.
And so I think it's definitely going back to Milwaukee. But the question is, who's going to win? That's a hard one.
It's a coin flip. It is.
Because
baseball.
You're not getting good enough play from the Dodgers stars. Machado hit that home run game 1, I think it was. But they're just not getting enough out of the guys that we're expecting. So I think Milwaukee's going to keep...
Turner has the big home run in game 2.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Turner in game 2. So this is definitely going distance in my mind.
It's been it's 9 runs to 9 runs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one game apiece. Both teams have scored 9 runs. This thing is going the distance. I like the Brewers to still win this thing. The one thing, though, I could actually see him losing tonight. Buehler in August, 1.53 ERA, and in September, below 2 as well. He's really pitched well over a pretty good sample here. Not that Chacin's not, he's fine, but I could see the Dodgers winning tonight and the Brewers still winning the series. It will go back to Milwaukee. This thing has length written all over it. I'm with you.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so shifting over to the ALCS now. The Red Sox were able to tie the series up last night. 7-5 win at home. The Astros took game one, as we know. Game three is on Tuesday. Uvalde, which was a good pickup by the Red Sox, and Dallas Keuchel, who's not quite what he was a couple of years ago when he won the Cy Young, but still a professional pitcher, as we know. He's going to be a free agent, too. The Astros and the Red Sox finished with the two best records in baseball, 103 wins and 108, respectively. In or out, the ALCS is more attractive than a potential World Series matchup.
This is out of bounds, D-Cell. And the reason why is because Milwaukee gets there. They haven't won since, what was the year, BT?
They didn't win. I mean, they got there in 82 against 82. The Cardinals. They got all these wall bangers. They lost in seven games.
Long time since Milwaukee's been there. So if they get there, it's going to be something. If the Dodgers get there, it's the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And whoever gets there from the American
League. Imagine it's Dodgers, Red Sox.
I agree. The World Series is going to be amazing. Regardless of which four teams get in.
I totally agree.
These two of four teams get in.
I agree. There's not enough history between any teams that would, force me to go in one direction. Like, I prefer to, historically.
Yeah, I hear you.
Dodgers, Red Sox would just look amazing. Fenway Park, Chavez Ravine, it would be sick. But the Brewers and the Astros are the world champions, so that's always the incredible. Yep. And they have the best team in baseball.
Let's get a repeat.
Yep. And the Brewers are a great story with young talent. I mean, good fans in a frenzy. I agree. Out of bounds. I think that is a disservice to any potential matchup. I think whatever we get, and I'm not getting a cut on this, I think whatever matchup we get will be great for the sport.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, T-Wolves opened up the season on Wednesday, one of 11 games. The NBA's back, two games tomorrow, 11 on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. LeBron plays on Friday, as we said earlier. So, Jimmy Butler, the saga looms, and it still has not yet been resolved. Now, he was present at practice yesterday. He met the media afterwards, but he offered very few details as to his standing with the team.
Jimmy, can you tell us why you wanted to be traded?
No, I cannot.
Do you still want to be traded?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to be passive aggressive like everybody else is here.
Do you expect to be traded?
Maybe.
Oh, this is gold.
Come on, Jimmy.
Although I'm not so sure Jimmy, while he's really good, is Jimmy Butler that good to be dominating this? I think the answer is no.
And he doesn't have that present.
Like that national cachet. I know he's good. Good.
Yes, but
he ain't Durant, he ain't LeBron, he ain't Curry,
passive being,
and Anthony Davis.
But half of being passive aggressive is how you present it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A little bit. How you sell it.
Yeah, I don't know if he's selling it right.
He's selling it old school. Yeah, passive aggressive. I mean, he's interesting. In or out, Jimmy Butler will play for the T-Wolves on Wednesday.
Yeah, he's
going to
be out there unless he's full of it. And he's talking out of both.
I think the question implies, could it be an organizational decision?
No.
Right? That's what you're going at with these.
No, no chance.
Okay, so you think he's going to play?
Unless the organization wants to fight Tibbs. Seriously, unless Tom Thibodeau is going to want Jimmy Butler out on the court. So that I know for a fact.
Yeah, he's going to win that battle at this point.
So unless the GM is like, it's not happening, then he's going to be out there.
He's basically the GM, too. I mean, he's got a lot of power there.
Unless the ownership
wants to get him
out. It's not going to happen, it's going to happen. And Jimmy Butler, he said it in the thing. He's like, in the inner sit-down with Rachel Nichols, I love ball, man. Yeah. I want a ball. You think he's going to voluntarily sit down?
No, I agree. This is short and sweet. I'd be stunned if he's not in uniform on Wednesday against the Spurs. And I'm going to put him down for 22 points, 9 rebounds, 4 steals, and a couple of hard fouls. And, by the way, a Timberwolves win.
I agree.
All right.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Tomorrow, we'll take LeBron out of the equation. Aside from LeBron, first year in L.A., the most interesting NBA situation is...
To me, it's Cleveland.
I got one for you. I don't find the Cavaliers.
I know,
very
you don't, but I care about what happens to them post-LeBron.
I don't care. I just don't think it's going to be.
Maybe it's short-lived. Maybe it's short-lived. It's probably a short-term interesting. Hey, what are they going to be like? And then when they suck,
they're
going to
be 3-5, then we move on.
Yeah, never mind. But I'm interested.
Who? Kevin Durant all year with the free agency. I think that's going to be interesting. I do. And he's hinted at such. He's not ducking that he might bounce. There's all sorts of rumblings that he might want to start his own team and lead a. I think that's up there. Kevin Durant,
The Rockets.
Yeah. See if Melo can ruin them.
Well, just where are they?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.